the Ministry of Reconciliation. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Joe, thank you very much. Shall I lead us in prayer? Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come to the final part of this sermon series on the cross, that you continue to speak to us and teach us. May we, as we head into this Easter season, understand more deeply your love for us and all that Christ has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, over the last 3 weeks and then today, we're doing this four-part series for Lent, looking at the cross. The visual on the screen is those nails. Why did Jesus die? What is significant about a Roman form of execution that it has become the symbol of hope for Christians around the world? And today I want to think about this theme of reconciliation. But before we do that, I just want to jump back out and I want to ask, what is wrong with the world? So I think most of us would accept that the world is not as it should be. I've only got to read the news, look out. We had a presentation at Deanery Synod this week about the environment, and we were reminded of the impact of climate change, that humans have not looked after or stewarded the resources God has given us, and that our world and our creation is groaning. There's something wrong. Then we've got the international situation. I don't need to say very much. International politics, I think, has never been quite so volatile. There's wars, and there's rumours of wars. You never quite know what you're going to read on your phone that morning about what's happened overnight in Iran. What's the future hold, even for things like energy prices and inflation and our economy and our nation? There's something wrong with the world. And then we've got our own country and community. Some would say more fractured and divided than ever. Maybe the poor and the marginalized being left behind while those in power dominate. But even in our own families, and while some of us have made fantastic family relationships, many come and speak to me of the challenges they face. You know, there's arguments and people falling out, people who don't talk to each other. And then we've got ourselves. We have to be honest. We're not always the people we even want to be. There is a deep problem. We live in this broken world. And the Bible is very honest and say the problem of this is sin, is brokenness. It's because we have a fractured relationship from the God who made us. And as we turn our backs on God, these fractures and brokenness just get worse and worse and worse. But here's the good news. The cross of Christ is about restoring broken relationships. It's about mending brokenness. It's about reconciliation. And so my hope is, over the next sort of 10 minutes, to help us to see why that cross, where Jesus died, is a place of hope, because it's a place where reconciliation for a broken world is possible. Now, if you've been coming regularly, these are the four themes we've adopted. We've talked about redemption. That is the idea that we're slaves to sin and Jesus set us free at great cost, his blood on the cross. We've been justified, declared righteous or not guilty through Jesus' death on the cross. We've been brought into the family, adopted through the cross. And today we are reconciled by the cross. Now, what is reconciliation? Well, the Cambridge Dictionary describes it as this: a situation in which two people or groups of people become friendly again after they've argued. Now, the Bible says that that is a picture of our relationship of God. The Bible says that we as humans naturally turn our backs on God. If God is there, we go headlong the other direction. And the Bible says that as a result, we're lost. We're in the darkness, dead in our sins, slaves, enemies of God, alienated from God. But the good news of the cross is that when we were far away, far off, when we were lost, Jesus finds us. When we were in the darkness, he brings us back to the light. When we were dead in our transgressions and sins, he makes us alive. When we were slaves, he sets us free. When we were enemies, he now makes us his friends and his children. When we were alienated from God, in Jesus, we're brought near. We are reconciled. And I just want to go into that passage that Joe read, and I want to just pick up verses sort of 18 onwards to observe three things about this reconciliation. So here's the first one. God is the one who reconciles. Paul is speaking about his ministry, and he says this, verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Who takes the initiative in reconciliation? God. God does it all. And that's very important, because there's no way to reconcile two people who are enemies unless one of them is willing to come and seek reconciliation. Some of you will know, I had the privilege, I think, last November of going on a Church of England trip for clergy to Northern Ireland and to Belfast, and to talk about some of the issues that country faced during the Troubles. Some of you will be very aware, there is a very divided community between the nationalist and loyalist communities. So much so that there are walls, literally walls, between them. And there's gates that are shut each night between them. Now, I was very naive when I went out. I thought the walls and the gates were gone. No, they're still there. If you go to Belfast today, those walls are still there and those gates are shut every night. You see, those two communities at the heart of the Troubles had to be kept completely apart. They were very honest in saying they hated one another. But as part of the trip, we went to Clonard Monastery, which is a place where a group on the nationalist side and made the decision that they were going to go over to the other side of the wall to try and find a way for reconciliation. And it was that initiative out of that monastery that made it possible for the 1998 Good Friday Agreement. But one thing we talked about and one thing they shared with us was it was very, very costly to take the decision to leave their community and head over to the other side to reconcile. But the Bible says that it's God who does it with us. You see, we've built a wall between us and God. We've pushed him out. We've gone far away. And what does God do? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He comes to us. We're in the pit, and he comes to get us out. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Friends, the God of the Bible is about reconciliation. He's about mending broken things. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy that God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God is about reconciliation. He is the one who steps down when we were lost and finds us. When we are in the darkness, he brings us into the light. He saves us. If you're here and you're a Christian, God loves you so much, he's come and rescued you out of the pit. How has he done that? This is my second point. Ooh, reconciliation comes through Christ. Have a look at that verse 18 again. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then have a look with me, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Notice again, who is the subject? God made him. God is always the author of salvation. God is the one who's rescuing. God is in the business of reconciliation, and he comes in Jesus. And what does Jesus do? God in his Son comes and becomes sin for us. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Jesus Christ takes on himself all our sin, all the times we fail to love others, fail to love God, all our mistakes. He takes it on himself and plunges it to the hell it deserves. But most wonderfully this, as Jesus dies for our sin, his perfection, his perfect light gets given to us. If you want a theological word, it's called imputation. Christ's perfection is given to us, imputed to us. So when God sees us as we're trusting Christ, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the Lord Jesus and his perfection. Isn't that a wonderful truth? God is in the business of reconciliation, and he does it through Christ, who becomes sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, we might stand righteous in his presence. We had year two from St. Paul's come to visit this week. We learned about the Easter story. It was a great joy. They had to do 10 stations to learn all about the Easter story. And then after they've done it and they have a drink and a biscuit, they get to ask questions. And it's always fun because the thing about children is you don't know what they're going to ask. And I did say to them, please, can we just have questions on the Easter story? And we did pretty well with that. Usually I get asked, who made God? It's the usual question I get asked. But anyway, this was, I had two or three questions over the morning and afternoon about this. Why did the crowds tell lies about Jesus to get him crucified? Why did in the court, although Jesus doth nothing wrong, was he found guilty? Now, on one level, there's two answers to that. On one level, as humans didn't like Jesus. The Jewish leaders of the time, they made up their lies to get rid of him. But the Bible says it was always part of God's big plan. That Jesus Christ would live the perfect life, die the death, take on the guilt that we deserve, so that we might be forgiven. And of course, as we're going through that Easter story, and we'll do this here, what happens when Jesus dies? Do you remember the wall, the barrier? See, in Northern Ireland, it's a physical barrier. In Jesus' day, it was a curtain between where God was and where we were. And of course, as Jesus dies, the curtain is torn in two from top to bottom. to make it possible for each one of us to be forgiven. God is the one who reconciles. Reconciliation comes through Christ. And this leads me to our last thing. We are to be people of reconciliation. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. That task that was given to the Apostle Paul has been given to us. In a broken world, we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. First and foremost, I think we're calling people to come back to God, to be reconciled to God, to know the God that made him, and to join the family that we were all ultimately made for. Yes, our world is broken. Yes, our creation is broken. Yes, our families may be broken. Yes, but in Jesus, reconciliation is possible. You see, not only does God want to reconcile us with him, he then wants us to live that out with each other. Hopefully, our church family is the beginning of a reconciled community. All of us, different backgrounds, coming together, united in Christ, learning to love one another as Christ loved us. And we know that one day, our broken creation that's groaning is waiting for Christ to return when all will be made new. Friends, in a moment, I'm going to speak about the future for our churches, the future here in St. Leonard's for our ministry. But as we end this little series on reconciliation, it seems to me the heart of what God is calling us to in the years ahead is to go out into St. Leonard's and tell people, be reconciled to God. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, can I implore you, reconcile to God. Come into his family. Come home. If you want to come and talk to me about that afterwards, do. And as we go out this Easter, let's call our community back to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact that you loved us so much, that you took the initiative to save us, to rescue us, to reconcile us to yourself. We thank you that through the Lord Jesus' death and resurrection, we're set free, we're declared righteous, we're brought into your family, reconciled in relationship to you. So, Father, please may we live that out as reconciled people with each other and go out with that ministry of reconciliation to our community and beyond. Amen.